Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
So we've been talking about signs of a growing faith. What are the things that you see, the things that you observe when it comes to the maturity of the believer? Second Thessalonians from chapter 1 and verse 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other." Let's see the NIV version. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go back to the scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Do you have a screen to yourself? Where is it? Okay. Okay, so let's read it together. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, let's read it. One, two, go. So let me read in your hearing. It says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing." So Paul says that we're thanking God because your faith is growing. It is important that our faith in 2024 should grow. And we gave certain signs that will be seen to indicate a growing faith. We started by saying the first one. Before I go to the first one, last week, we established the fact that the gospel, it is the message of the gospel and the understanding of the message of the gospel that causes your faith to grow. So the signs that we attributed to a growing faith are not necessarily things that you pick in and out of themselves or you highlight them individually. These are things that as you deepen in the message of the gospel, you know, you must be able to connect everything about your faith to the gospel. Your experiences and your expectation, these two things. So if you have that fixed, if you have your understanding of Christ deepening, it will affect your expectations and going forward your experiences. Let me show you Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. My emphasis will be verse 6, but let's read from verse 1 to verse 6. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother," next verse, "to the saints and faithful brethren." Okay, since we don't have it on the screen, are you all there on your phone?
Yes, sir.
On your Bible? Okay, great. Verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints," verse 5, "because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven," that means heaven is not the hope, but the hope is in heaven, "of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." What does your translation say, that last phrase in verse 5? Okay, one version says the truth of the good news. What does yours say? Is there any different expression apart from good news? There is the gospel in the NIV. The King James says the gospel.
"Just as it has been growing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace."
Okay, great. What version is that? Or translation is that?
NIV.
Okay, so the NIV says understanding the grace of God. So you can tie the grace of God, the gospel, the good news as one message. So don't be carried away when people say grace message, as if to say grace message is a topic. Grace message is not a topic. Grace message is the message. Are we together now? So the grace of God is the message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the grace of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. We'll come back to Colossians. But Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, if you have it. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify. What does your version say? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So the gospel is the grace of God. The grace of God is the gospel. Are we together? So when we say the gospel, the good news, the grace of God is one and the same thing. So back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. Colossians 1 and verse 5. All right, it says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Next verse. Which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Are we still here now? All right, so you see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6 that it says that message of the truth of the gospel you heard is bringing forth fruit. So the gospel is what produces the fruit. The fruit is not isolated from the gospel. It is the hearing of the gospel that produces the fruit. Praise God. The question you might want to ask is, okay, what about someone who has not heard the gospel? How does the person bear fruit? That you can explain how eba is made and you eat it. That is one thing. That you can explain how eba is made and you still eat it. Does your stomach ask you, do you know how it is made? Talk to me, somebody. Does your body ask you if you are aware of the composition of the nutrients in the diet? It doesn't. As long as you are partaking of the experience, your body utilizes the nutrients. So it is the same way someone can be immersed in the grace of God and still with the lack of understanding of it, he or she still has some level of experiences which are fruits of that gospel. It may not be in the full degree, but to whatever extent it might be, you would have a measure of expression. All right. But the more you understand, the better it is. So that's why we admonish for teaching in every ministry that the grace of God is properly taught to every church. Amen. Amen. Now let's see the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version of this Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. So it is the gospel that produces fruit. Not anything else. It's the gospel that produces fruit. Which has come to you indeed. This is the Amplified I'm reading. Indeed, in the whole world, that the gospel is bearing fruit and still is growing by its own inherent power, even as it has done among yourselves ever since the day you first heard and came to know and understand the grace of God in truth. I wish you were reading or seeing what I was showing you. It says, since the day you first heard and came to know and understand the grace of God. So when you understand the grace of God in truth, it results into a growing faith. It results into a bearing fruit nature. It results into a fruit that is born over and over in your life. Do you get what I'm saying? So it says you came to know the grace of God, the undeserved favor of God in reality, deeply and clearly and thoroughly, becoming accurately and intimately acquainted with it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we've established that it's the gospel that makes you express these things that are signs of a growing faith. So number one, we said you will make what? Better choices. That's number one. We said the first sign is you will make better choices. All right? We gave it a theme scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child and I understood as a child and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then number two, we said, you have a better character, all right? Romans chapter 6 and verse 21 to 23. We use the Living Bible, Romans chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. And then we also looked at Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 6, 21, and what was the result? Evidently not good, since you are ashamed now even to think about those things you used to do, for all of them end in eternal doom. Next verse. Verse 22, but now you are free from the power of sin. We explained all of this last week. And are slaves of God, and his benefits to you include holiness and eternal life or everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of righteousness is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we said you have a better character when you are growing in the faith. Number three. And you know the truth is, when your character is growing, you yourself will notice your character is growing. Yeah. Are there people who have found out that certain expressions are no longer, you know, the way they used to be, right? You would react differently to things now. Are there people who are in that place? Okay, so that is a sign that your faith is growing. Then number three, what did we say number three? What? Love for the things of God. And we said this is at the heart of spiritual growth. A growing Christian will require fewer prods in the service of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 to 11. Acts chapter 6 verse 36. Psalms chapter 1 verse 1 to 2. As each of you has received a gift, minister that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then we said in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Then number four, we said, what's number four? You would embrace evangelism. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. All right? And these signs will follow them who believe. Go back to verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and what? He said to them, go into all the world and what? Okay. This is the most important work you have, preaching the good news to anybody. That's your most important job. I wish I can make it as serious as I need it to be to you. The most important thing you are called to do in life is to preach the good news. The most important job you have is not just to employ people or to own your own businesses. If you love humanity, the first thing you should think about is the salvation of humanity. So let's say that together. My most important job is to preach the gospel. It's not even to give food to someone who is hungry. That's important because that's what the outflow of the gospel should be. Jesus fed 5,000. Is that correct? Yes, but you know, there was a time because he fed 5,000 people, the 5,000 came back to him for the food that they were fed by. And when Jesus started preaching hard truth, the scripture says that they all were waiting for when the 5,000 miracle of bread, feeding, and fish and all will replicate itself. When he now started saying, until you mature to eat my flesh and drink my blood. when they heard that, all of them started to leave one by one. So if people leave the church, you are not the first. They've left Jesus' church before. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, but what this is what I'm saying. Jesus started with bringing the crowd. But you must understand what is important to God's heart when it comes to the people. The first thing that is important is the salvation of their souls. Okay, but feeding them is key, you see, because he instructs us to take care of the poor, to feed the poor, to make sure people are not hungry. If you look at the works of the early church, there was a communal living that was existing in the early church. The Bible says that they all sold their lands and they shed the money to feed one another. So nobody was lacking in anything. So I believe very strongly in taking care of the poor, but you never mistake that as the most important priority in God's heart. God's heart is about the salvation of men. Are we together? If you look at Luke chapter 4, where Jesus was given the mandate, you remember the scripture where they handed over the scroll to him, and he said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I thought about it. That's deep. He didn't say he has anointed me to feed the poor. He says he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So both the rich and the poor need the gospel. You see? To preach the gospel to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, and to deliver the oppressed and all of that. Then his mandate keeps going on. But here is the point I'm making to you. Your priority must be clear that my ministry is to minister the gospel to someone. If you're not doing this, you haven't started doing according to God's priority system, the most important thing you're called to do. The Bible says that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is your primary ministry. I'll use the instrumentalist as an example. He's a drummer, but being a drummer is not his primary assignment. His primary assignment is to win souls. Because your ministry is not the same thing with your gift. You may have a gift to do something, doesn't mean it is your primary ministry. Your primary ministry is established in the scripture, which is the preaching of the gospel. But your gift is used to service the body or to service those who are outside the body to the intent that men come to Christ. So when people make a priority system out of gifts to say that because I can sing and you've never won a soul, you've never really done the real job. Singing is a wonderful gift. It blesses people. But you see, the most important thing is that souls are won. You have the ability to help. You know, there are people who are called to the gift of helps in the scripture. Yes. So it's a gift. The Bible commends all of us to help, right? But there are some people who are gifted to help. And if you're gifted to help, it comes natural to you. It is not primary to ministry, but it is one of the expressions of a gift. So that means that your ministry, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. All things are passed away, all things have become new. To wit that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. However, he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So your ministry, he has given to us, it's collective. Your ministry is the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So that's when you're really doing real ministry. So you know you can be a pastor and not win souls. You can successfully stay in a pastoral ministry and just be ministering to people, blessing people. You have a congregation, but you are not winning souls. So every pastor must understand that his primary ministry is to win souls. Then you are called to be a pastor. You are called to, you know, govern God's people. That's important. So I don't say to myself, that pastoring a church is enough. So if I see the opportunity to preach the gospel, I'll tell the person, come to my church. No time for you right now. No. Because the primary ministry of everybody, your most important work is to win souls. That's your most important work. How do we know stars in the kingdom? You know, superstars are very important in this generation. Pastor Ike and I were talking and we said this generation is a generation that is modeled by hero worship. You need to have a hero. Okay, so these younger ones want to see someone to emulate. If their hero does it, then they'll do it. If the parents tell them, they won't do it until they see Rihanna do it. Do you get? So that's why we need to raise a lot of heroes in church. But the more we keep pointing them to Christ and making them see that Christ is now our hero, they become Christ-minded in their expression. So that's how to save this generation, by pointing a hero, a walking hero to them. So here is what I'm saying. Why did I say this? Why did I say this? Why did I say this? So about evangelism, we need to be exemplary when it comes to evangelism and soul winning. Our primary work, let's say that together, my primary assignment is to win souls. Yes, I was saying that how do we recognize stars in the kingdom? Who are the stars of the church? The stars of the church are those who model by the example of soul winning. Go and read Daniel chapter 3. You will see there. It tells you who the stars in the kingdom are. Those who have won souls. And the Bible says he who wins a soul is intelligent. Because soul winning is what gives you some measure of, it's an investment for the future. And the future is the eternity we're talking about. So so your work, I wish I can make this very serious to you. And you know what? Soul winning should be done by any means you can, whichever way you can. It should be through your Instagram, your Facebook, your connection, your job, your assignment. Everything you've got, use it to win souls. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so number five. Number four, we said Mark chapter 16, verse 15, right? There's one more scripture I didn't give. That is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Let's try that. Ephesians chapter 6, let's try that. Where it says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Yeah. Then verse 15, it says, and your feet, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I wish we had the Amplified version. Do you have the Amplified? What does it say?
And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. The promptness and the readiness produced by
the good news.
Yes, so the promptness and your readiness to preaching is produced by the message itself. So the enthusiasm for the preaching of the gospel is the gospel itself. When you know this is good news, it is your incentive to share it. Because you know this is good news. Are we together now?
Yes,
so we're done with embracing evangelism. Then number five, we said become a role model. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I want you to know that we are in church not just to hear the word, but we are in church to hear the word and to see one another. We're in church not just to hear the word, but also to see one another. And in seeing one another, we learn how to be. We copy one another in church. You see what I'm saying? So there's a difference between the message of the gospel and the ministry of the word. I would explain these things much later when we're doing a discipleship class so that we understand what it means to copy someone according to a manner. There's a manner in which we believers must be. Now, it says, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. That's what it means to become a role model. Now, the proper role model is the one who would make every sacrifice in the direction of discipleship. That is a role model in the church. Who are the role models in church, in TSB? Let me define them for you. Role models in TSB are those who by every means, through every means, would go through whatever it needs, whatever they need to go through to become discipled and mature in Christ. It will reflect in their characters. I'll look for a simpler way to put it, but I just want you to get the idea. It will reflect in their character and also in their understanding of the gospel. Those are the role models. How about sacrifices are you willing to make just to grow in the word? Those are the role models. When you see a man coming from Maraba every day just to hear the word and go back, and he's not singing, he's not in anybody's face, he's paying his transport, that person is my role model. I'm telling you, I want to be more like that person. You see, because if I am in the opportunity to choose and to make my choices, I must make sure I am choosing leaning towards the things of God. My choices are leaning towards the things of God. That's a role model. That's a role model. We need to grow to the point whereby the testimonies of the blessings of God become the secondary testimonies. And your spiritual maturity and growth becomes the primary testimonies. We need to grow to that place. Do we want the material blessings? Oh, yes. I want it as much as we all do. And I want it for all of you. But you see, when we start to share testimonies like this, I had 4 people receive Christ under my conversation today. The church should stand up and be clapping because those are role models. Do you understand? So these are the things we're talking about. When someone tells you that he's been through a lot, almost to the point of losing his or her life, but she just came to testify that her faith is still standing, we're still waiting for the testimony. It shows how shallow we are. Do you understand? We're like waiting. So what is the real, what is real? Did your boss call you to say, take money? When someone tells you, I can still believe, I can still believe, I still see Christ in all of this, those are my role models. So we need to move from the shallow to the deep. And this is what makes you a disciple. When I was working, I was really busy in UBTH, Uniben Teaching Hospital. I never missed a service. I never miss it. Bishop Wale would count on me that I'll be there. And even when I had calls, you know what calls are? Calls are when you're working overnight, extra shift. I will find a way. I will find a way. Because then we used to do some crazy stuff in the hospital as doctors. We would buy calls. So I will switch. You take my call. I'll take yours. Maybe your colleague needs to travel, needs to make an urgent trip. I take his call, then he takes mine. There was a day I was on call, and my Dawza was looking for me to minister. My phone started to buzz. Pastor Phil, Mama is looking for you. Papa Ayo came to preach that day, and I was nowhere to be found. There was nothing that pained me like that. Those were some of the things I knew that hospital is not for me. Because my heart was in church. And I'm not saying this because I'm called to be a pastor. But you see, who a role model is that regardless of what you do, where you are, your heart is fixed with the word. You are looking for an opportunity every day to hear the word. Those are role models. You will make any sacrifice. You know, in those days, we will pay transport money to travel to preach the gospel. We're not talking about you invited under the comfort of the money the host is giving you, either for flight tickets or something, you are paying to go and preach. You don't know whether they will accept your gospel or not, but you are paying the transport. That's what we are talking about. And you know, I want us to graduate into intentional evangelism, where we are not just opportunistic about evangelism, but intentional. But that is, you tell yourself, I'm going out on evangelism. You know, it's a different type. It's more deliberate than when you just hear someone talking and you say, the Holy Spirit tells you, time to minister the word, and you start to minister the word. That's good. But intention, that is, you close your portfolio, you put your back together and say, I'm going out on evangelism. We need to go back there. Amen. So back to where I was. Where are we now? Number six, hatred for sin. There'll be a growing hatred for sin. Then number seven, we said, perseverance in adversity. Number eight, did we say love for others? Not yet. So make that your number nine. So let's go back to number eight. We said one of the signs that someone is growing in the faith is the person becomes slow to anger. Have you ever heard someone say, I have a quick temper? Quick temper will become slow now. It's part of your growth. Because the more you grow, the slower your anger becomes. It's true. You can't be short-fused, right? Before you met Christ, and after you've met Christ for the longest time, you're still short-fused. Something is missing somewhere. What scriptures did we give? James 1, 19 to 20. Please read that for me, Courage. James 1, 19 to 20. Kachi, read Proverbs 19, 11. NLT, do you have NLT version? Okay, Proverbs 19, 11. Then Vanessa, read Proverbs 14, 29. Iwese, read Proverbs 29, 11. Dockers, help me read Ephesians 4, 26. So I'll go through all of you and then that would help us. What does yours say? Amplified. No, use, which one is yours? Which one did I tell? James? James 1:19. Use King James.
All right. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to...
Correct that. Get a worker to stand up and let him...
Wherefore, my beloved brethren...
This way. Okay. How are you doing, man of God? Good to see you. Make sure our visitors are more comfortable.
James 1, 19 to 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Okay. What does it say? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So, quick to hear. Let's say that together. Quick to hear.
Slow to speak.
Slow to be angry. Okay. For most of the people you know around you, you know it's the opposite. Okay, I'm sorry. Sometimes we're quick to talk, but not quick to listen. If you listen to my message on balances, I said that you must have a good balance to be able to listen and to be able to talk. Some people listen to talk. No, let me put it away. Some people listen to reply, but they don't listen to understand. So the Bible says, be quick to listen and be slow to speak. If I am speaking to someone who seems to know too much, my first disposition is to be quiet and listen. I don't do well with people who talk a lot. Except I am leading at that point. When I mean leading, maybe pastoral responsibility. But when it comes to casual relationships, I don't really do well with people who are talking people. I am mostly the quiet one who listens. Except I am given the opportunity to speak. And it's not as if I can't talk. So some of you need to train yourself on how to just cut the plenty talking and listen. You probably have not gotten your job because of that. That's a stray bullet, right? Yes. You probably have not even been married because of that. Yeah. So sometimes you need to just learn how to listen more. So you see now, many times, just the ability to listen. Sometimes it's good to listen to what you already know. Because somehow you will pick out something you don't know. So just learn how to listen. You know, it's a good balance to grow and to develop yourself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And if you're a talking woman, it won't help you when you're married. Talking too much. When I mean you talk too much, you must need... Okay, so you will need to learn how to listen to your husband when he's speaking. Because sometimes your talking can be overwhelming. And you know, don't think that women are the only ones who talk. Have you seen men who talk too?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So this goes for everybody. It's not just a gender thing. Amen?
Amen.
So be quick to listen and be what? Slow to speak and be slow to what?
Anger.
Then the next verse goes on to say that the wrath of man walketh out not the righteousness of God. So when people are quick to be angry, it doesn't work God's righteousness. Hi. When I found that scripture in the scripture, I told myself, being angry doesn't expedite God's will. Doesn't bring it to pass many times. But there are places where anger is necessary. Like I told you before, if I want to pray for the sick, I use the emotion of anger because I get angry at the oppression. That's how to use anger. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Or if I see a demon, like a demon we casted during Night of Solution. I saw that demon. I didn't even see the lady's face, but I saw the demon's face. Now, immediately I became angry while I was standing there. I said, no, I can't miss you. You can't be here and I'm here. Immediately we cast it out. Oh, she has a testimony. You know the lady? She's a teenager. What's her testimony?
She said that day suddenly her tummy started paining her. She didn't want to come. But her aunt said, let's just go. That the pain was so much that she was sitting, the pain was just unnecessary. So the demon, when she was telling me, said, she couldn't even understand what kind of pain it was. She couldn't even bear it. But immediately you touched her, that it was like something left her and the pain stopped immediately.
Yeah, so I saw the demon of oppression. And you know, it started with stomach pain. It was going to go further. Demons don't hear, I beg, or they come. No, they don't. Oh. The moment they have a dwelling place and they settle, they open up workshop. So I just noticed that while I was standing beside her, there was an anger that welled up. I said, no, this one can't miss. And I didn't even see her. I will pass her if I see her. Praise God. So that's how to use anger. Not to be using anger at your brother or your wife. Or your parents. Or your siblings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Did I ask some people to open some things? Okay. Kachi, which one did I ask you?
Proverbs 19:11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. NLT.
I think I should allow it to simmer for a bit. Let it. It says, sensible people, what? Control their temper. What's the next phrase? They earn respect by overlooking wrong. So to be sensible is to be able to control. Somebody say, control your temper. Makes you sensible. Sometimes you're regarded as wise when you don't speak. But the moment you start to speak, you're fully finds full expression.
Did I ask you to do anyone?
Okay.
Proverbs
Proverbs 14, verse 29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly.
One who is quick-tempered displays folly. You see what I'm saying?
Proverbs 29:11. A short-sighted fool always loses his temper and displays his anger, but a wise man uses self-control and holds it back.
So it helps us describe who this person is. That is, it's not just a fool. He's a short-sighted fool. You know, I wish he was a long-sighted fool. I wish he was a fool that at least can see far. But this one is he's a short-sighted fool. That's too deep. But he speaks of one who is quick to be angry. Do you understand? And you know, anger is a spirit. Anger is a spirit. Now, I wish I had the time, but I will show you when the Bible says, "Be Dorcas, let's hear yours."
Ephesians 4:26, and it says, NLT, and don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry.
Okay, so can we just take these instructions? Don't be angry and allow the sun go down in your anger. Some people are saying, Pastor, now you won't be that too. That scripture she read is the scripture that says, be angry but sin not. Now, the Bible says that you should be quick to speak, slow to anger. Now, the word slow to anger means controlled anger. So your anger must be controlled. A controlled anger is a constructive anger. Can I explain? Can I explain the difference between constructive anger and destructive anger? Okay, destructive anger is the one that would lead to strife, unforgiveness, bitterness. That's destructive. And God's anger is called righteous anger. It's not destructive anger. God's anger is the anger that knows how to decipher in the midst of the anger. Should I explain that? It's the anger that knows how to separate the person from the wrong. So God is angry with the sin, but he's not angry with you. So in his wisdom, he sends Christ to deal with the sin and saves you. All that is talking about the righteous anger of God, where someone has to pay the penalty of sin because he's a just God. So when you're talking constructive anger, it is constructive anger to correct, to discipline, to establish what is right. I've seen people who say, I am angry, and they do nothing about what they are angry about. So how constructive is that? There's nothing as constructive as that. But if you say you're really angry and then you're doing something, you're not staying on the level of the problem, because I don't like people who talk and stay on the level of the problem. If you're talking, you must be bringing solution to the talk. Right. So if you're angry about something, make sure your corresponding action is doing something about what you're angry about. And number two, you are not lumping what you shouldn't lump into your grievance or your anger. If Tende does something that is upsetting, I can be hurt by it, angry at what he has done. My anger will be channeled towards correcting him, but not condemning him, so that I don't put a cap on his potential or his ability or his person, or insult his person. It is to correct him. That's what anger is. So we should be constructive in our anger, not destructive in our anger. Say amen, someone.
Amen.
So we said number nine is what?
Love for others.
Now, the love walk is the most important sign of a growing faith. Your ability to love people is the most important sign that your faith is growing. Ephesians chapter 1 and let's start from verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Okay, you know what? Go to the place where it says, ever since we heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. What verse is that? Ephesians chapter 1. All right, so let's see Ephesians 1 verse 15. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go.
I'm trying to write.
NLT. Read it again. Okay, just hold on. Let Kachi read it.
Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere.
Now look at these two things. Faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for who? God's people. So your love for God's people is one of the most evident signs that your faith is growing. It's important. You know when the Bible says do good especially to those of the household of faith. So it says not that you don't love other people, but there'll be a deep connection to your love to other people by expressing your love to them. Please, who can tell me why? Why will your love for God's people be on the rise? Who can tell me why? Why is the Bible so particular about mentioning that if you really have faith in Christ, it will show in your love for God's people? Yeah? Because God loves his people, yeah. Yeah? Okay, when you have the Spirit, yeah, fruit of the Spirit, love. When you have the Spirit, you act like him. Yes. What do you think, man of God? So there's no wrong answer, please. Yes.
So, as a believer,
yeah,
you are saved into a fold.
This man is thinking like me.
So you are saved into a fold, and that is the family God recognized as the body.
So that is exactly where I'm going. Now, the reason why your love spikes to believers is because you kind of have found your new family. Have you been in a situation whereby you accidentally meet your distant cousin before? Or they tell you this person is your brother and you are just meeting him for the first time. That the connection is that he's your mother's younger brother's wife's aunties, cousins. But you just see the person and you just love the person and you're like, this is my brother. Have you been there before? So when he says that your faith in Christ and your love for, when you hear someone is a Christian, the first thing that you think about is this person has been blood washed just I am. So there is a drawing that I have to you just because you are a believer. You know how it is when you go abroad and you see Nigerians. I'm not talking about when you go to the UK. I mean when you go to places like Russia or Mexico or Italy. Italy, we plenty for there. But, eh? Italy be like Benin. Croatia. You go to Croatia and you see someone speaking Pidgin English. Or the person is speaking Igbo and Kachi is by the person's side. See, there will be something. See, you almost pay for the person's bill. Yeah. That is the way it is. All of these don't even match the reality of believers. So. But I'm telling you that is the way it is when we see one another. And you know how Satan has made us think by bringing division. He has made us think denomination. What church do you attend? What's your church? I am Winners. I am Living Faith. I am Redeemed. I am Christ Embassy. I am TSP. When God looks from up, he doesn't see denomination. He sees his children. Do you understand? So love for the saints. I was pastor of my fellowship in school, CFI. I was building for the fellowship. So we bought roofing materials. And when I looked on the other side, I saw Living Faith Fellowship was also building. And the Holy Spirit said to me, give your roofing sheet. I know how much I raised that thing. I called our fellow students. I said, we need to give for the work of the Lord in this campus. Amen. And we gathered money. And they gathered money and they left because it was 3 months break. So nobody was in school except medical students and summer students. We were alone. The Holy Spirit said to me, give. I took the roofing sheet and I gave it to Winners. Now, as the pastor, you know, I was mocked for that thing I did, though. Some of my leaders who were serving under me did not understand why I did what I did. But when all I had to say to them was, let us be body conscious, not denominational conscious. The day I invited my dad to preach, he saw 17 fellowships with the 17 pastors in unity. All of us were, I was the president of all the fellowships, 17 of them. All of Deeper Life, Catholic, Anglican, Redeemed, Living Faith, Castle, Pastor, I can remind me now. NIFES, Anglican, yes, I've called her. NFCS, Baptist. Eh? G-Tan. Hey, G-Tan. Oh, G-Tan. Let's leave that story. They all lined like this. So my dad came to preach, and then he almost broke into tears. The first thing he said is, I wish the fathers can come learn from what the children are doing. Because he goes for PFN meetings and he knows how it is. Where your status is determined by how many people are in your church. And that's what gives you, you know. Now, this is not to throw spikes on our fathers, okay? They're doing a great job. But he said, I wish the fathers can learn from the students. So to be body conscious is not to see denomination. It's when you see someone is a believer out there, there's a drawing. Oh, this person is a believer. And you know how deep it goes. It goes as deep as you being so connected to this person as much as your sibling or even beyond. Because your first family is your family in Christ. Because he has delivered us from every tribe and every kindred. So what you can do for your siblings, if you can't do it for the body of Christ, it means your understanding is still approaching maturity. There's work. So where are we now? Number 10, increased rest, joy, and peace. The more mature you are, one of the signs of a growing faith is that your peace will increase. Your joy will increase. Your rest will increase. Psalms 127 verse 2. Psalms 127 verse 2, Isaiah 26 verse 3, Galatians 5 and verse 22. Let me take it again. Psalms 127 verse 2, Isaiah 26 verse 3, Galatians 5, 22. Courage, help me open Psalms 127 2. Kachi, help me open Isaiah 26 3. Vanessa, help me open Galatians 5:22. Are you there?
It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep.
Okay. It says he giveth his what? Beloved. He giveth his beloved sleep. I know you've heard the scripture before and you just missed something. He giveth his beloved sleep. All of you just missed and you just passed something. Who does he give sleep to? Who is his beloved? What does the gospel revelation show you? That you are loved. So the deeper you are in the revelation of being loved, the more sleep you have. Did you get it? Uh-huh. So the deeper your revelation of God's love, he giveth his beloved sleep. And I'm not just talking about physical sleep. Because some of you are reading this thing another way now. You know, people know how to use scriptures where the scripture is not supposed to be used. You're supposed to be up. You're now saying he giveth his beloved sleep. Bible, that same Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hand. So shall thy poverty come enough. All right? But the sleep I'm talking about here is the sleep that speaks of rest. He giveth his beloved sound sleep. So you have that revelation. I am loved by God. Come on, amen. I'm loved by God, and therefore I rest on matters. I sleep on matters. Praise God, somebody. So you must have that. And the more mature you are, the less frantic you become. That's my next point. I will show you, I'll read that point to you. But the more mature you are, the higher your peace level. If you have not been accused as being carefree on some things, then it means you may not be growing. You are not yet there. Because it happened to Jesus. Don't you care that we perish? You know, the most responsible thing to do sometimes is to worry. Because worrying shows that you are concerned about the problem. It shows that you are present. When someone is absent-minded, have you seen an absent-minded person before? Mm-hmm. So there's a good absent-mindedness that is recommended by Scripture. Not the one that makes you clueless. That's not the one I'm talking about. But a good sense of absent-mindedness that is rather focused on Christ than the problem. So one of the signs of a growing faith is that your peace level, before something disturbs you, it go hard. It will be tough. Before you get bothered, you'll be tough. Not that action is not in the pipeline. Not that you are not constructive about things. But I'm talking about the state of your heart. You know, there are people who just sit down and cross their leg and not worry. Inside their heart is like drum. That's not what I'm talking about. People who just tend to the peace posture. The peace posture is not what I'm talking about. Where you sit down and you say all is well. And in your heart is racing. You know all is not well. You are cursing God in your heart. You are insulting things, insulting people in your heart. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the heart. Peace. Praise God. And you know, may the Lord take away worry from you. The peace of God, they walk on. You must get to that point where it looks as if you don't care. It says, don't you care that we perish? The way some of you are frantic about life. Jesus Christ, I wonder where your faith is. Truly, it's a reflection of where your faith is. Think about what I'm saying very deeply. It's a reflection of where your faith is. If something bothers me, the moment I go to bed, see, I just know what to do. Go to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. There's a song you were singing today. It's like a hymn. Do you remember? It's like a hymn. You were singing a hymn. Eh? No, not... No, 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 no. Not carry. No, not that one. Are you in my house? You think you know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. Not that one. The one that says, needless to pray. That's it, right? Oh, what needless pain we bear. So she was singing that song in the evening. It says, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So there are some things you don't need to bear them. Just take it. I know what to do. If my mind is troubled about things, I always know what to do. Firstly, take it to God in prayer and sleep. Then God gives you wisdom. You now know what to do. Do you understand? Not to be acting as if life is over. So one of the signs that your faith is growing is that you have increased peace, rest, and joy. Did I ask anyone else to read anything? Which one?
Isaiah 26, verse 3. TPT. Perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you, they confidently trust in you.
Whose imaginations are consumed with God. You must secure your imaginations. Praise God. I love that TPT translation. You must protect your imaginations. You know, many times it is our imaginations that lead us into trouble, not the thing itself. It's the thing you are thinking about that is the problem, not the thing itself. It's the thing you are thinking about that is the problem. Okay, let me put it this way. It's the way you are thinking that is the problem, not the thing itself. It's your way you think. So let us be people who understand the gospel and let it show in how you handle stuff. You know? He says, what does the King James of that verse say? That's Isaiah 26, verse 3. He will keep in perfect peace those whose hearts are stayed on you. The more you keep looking at God's love, you are in perfect peace. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Can I borrow just 5 more minutes? Okay. Whether I say yes or no, you know I will. 11. Is that number 11 now?
Yes, sir.
Less fear and worry. Fight fear with everything you have. Oh. Because fear will keep you unhealthy spiritually. You need to be spiritually healthy. So fight fear with everything that you've got. And how do you fight fear? Perfect love casts out all fears. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Somebody say amen. Do you have it? Yes, thank you. 1 John 4:18. Do you have it? Who is there? 1 John 4:18. Okay, Vanessa.
Okay, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
On a logical scale, what is supposed to be the opposite of fear? Yeah. When you see someone who is afraid, fear, fear. Fear, fear. You call this person fear, fear. What is the opposite of fear, fear? Courage. High courage. But you know, the Bible doesn't start with courage. So, you can't tell a fearful person to just be courageous like that. How are you from where? How are you going to jump to just become courageous? Except you've really not been afraid before. You know, this message is easy to say is for your neighbor. But if you have ever been in a place where you have genuinely been afraid, you understand what I'm saying. Now see, when you are in that place, it's not just to tell the person, be bold. With what am I going to use to be bold? So the Bible is careful to outline how to get to courage by saying that if you are in fear, go back to God's love. I wish we can read the whole, I wish our projector screen was here. I'd have shown you the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse, what verse did I give you? Verse. Yes. So read from verse 16. What does it say?
Okay. Verse 16. Sorry. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them.
Now, whoever lives in love. So the first way you deal with fear is to start living in love. Then you progress to now. So because when you live in love, you now live in the fullness of God. Do you remember Ephesians 3 verse 17 or verse 19? Where it says to know the love of God which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So when you understand God's love, you become full of the fullness of God. Do you get it? Okay, then read verse 17. Verse 17 is actually my favorite scripture in the Bible. Herein, Woo!
This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus.
Let me say King James. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. For as he is, so are we in this world. So he now says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. You just missed me now. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. So instead of telling someone, be bold, you start from what makes the person bold. What makes the person bold? The perfection of love. So he starts with love. He becomes perfected in love. And what next? Boldness comes. So if anybody is dealing with fear now, just go to the love of God. You will see boldness will well up in your inside. And let me tell you, fear is not always dread. Fear sometimes is caution. Caution, unnecessary caution. That's unnecessary caution. Fear can be projects God is giving you, ideas, visions God is giving you. Maybe he tells you, leave where you are and move to this. And you are afraid. You don't know what to do. You are thinking, can I do it? It's fear. That's fear stopping you. But he says, perfect love. Cast out all fears. Here is, my love is made perfect. Amen. So let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God drives the spirit of worry and fear out of your life. Because fear is not part of God's gift to you. The Bible says he has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of a sound mind. Love, power, and of a sound mind. Right now, we take away the spirit of worry. We take away the spirit of fear. We take away unrest. We take away the restless spirit that has been plaguing and troubling you. We take away the spirit of uncertainty about things. We receive right now the spirit of certainty and love and assurance in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare over God's people, over all of you, that it is well with you. Say to the righteous, it is well. Say to the righteous, it is well. Come on, come on. Say to what? The righteous. It is well. I say it is well right now. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. It is well with your spirit. It is well with your soul. It is well with your body. I decree upon you in the name of Jesus that you will not falter. You will not shake. Your heart is steadfast on Christ. I decree upon you that anger will not take a hold of your life. I decree upon you that anxiety, worry will not take a hold of your life. You will not be blinded by the distractions of life. You will stand in the midst of adversity. I declare right now that you're taking bold steps. Intentional steps, forward steps, in the name of Jesus Christ. I release the peace of God upon you right now. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. The peace of God upon you right now. The peace that passes all understanding. Receive the spirit of joy right now. In the name of Jesus. Your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. Receive the grace to love others. Love God's children. Love God's people. You are slow to anger. Yes, yes, yes. In the name of Jesus, you persevere in adversity. You hate what is wrong. You are a role model to believers. You embrace evangelism. You love the things of God. You will make better choices this year. And your character will be better this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree upon you in the name of Jesus that the Lord will be your leading. He will lead you everywhere to go. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands, give the Lord some praise.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.